as the little foxes, they're feasting on our vine.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. It has been a while.
Great week.
3 whole weeks. And man, has it been eventful.
Let's talk about the last 3 weeks and what has happened.
Well, we went on a vacation. We had a really nice cruise.
Yeah, and we did a podcast episode right after that. Yeah.
And then we almost died. We have both had COVID. I've had strep. Shanna's has some mysterious illness. And I'm waking up at between 2 and 4 every morning right now. So it's kind of back to normal for us.
Yeah. So those are excuses. We realize it. And we're very sorry.
We're just tired.
It's been rough.
And then we had the privilege of keeping our grandkids for a few days while the kids went on a cruise themselves.
Yeah.
They were a blessing.
Yeah. They were something else.
Yeah,
no, that was great. We had a good time with them, and but now we're just trying to get back to the rhythm of our lives and stop being sick and going back to the gym and all that stuff. So we're sorry, but we could have pushed this off, and we talked about, hey, let's just not even do it this week. But I knew that if we keep doing that,
we're never going to do it again.
We're never going to do it again, and then we'll just fade into the background.
Right.
And we feel like, especially with what just happened in our nation, we need to be vocal. We need to be standing up for what we believe in. So,
you know, I have never seen an attack on faith and spirituality in my lifetime like it's happening right now. And I know that Jesus Christ went through so much more than we did. He was abused physically, and he was kicked out of his homeland by his own people. And I think cool heads prevail. I'm not saying that we have to be to lay down and let everybody run over us just because we're Christians, because that's not in me to lay down and let anybody run over me. But I don't think that meeting violence and hate with violence and hate accomplishes anything. That young man, Charlie Kirk, great person. He had a beautiful family, and he had done so much good for this country. I was reading Fox News earlier, and it said that over 100 million people logged in and streamed. Turning Point USA said 100 million people logged in and streamed.
Probably all over the world.
Yeah, and they said that's just what they know about. He said there's probably 100 million more.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we thought that today we would talk about the attack on the family.
Right.
Because that's really what he stood for, and he wanted to bring the family back into alignment with what God says family is, so that it could save our nation. And I believe, because you and I have talked about this a lot, I believe that the backbone of any civilization or country is the family unit.
Absolutely.
And so one of the reasons that you and I wanted to start this podcast and help people with the restoration of their marriage. First of all, God did that for us. But second of all, we understand that if Satan can destroy the family unit, he can destroy an entire country.
And that's what's happening.
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, and that's what's happening is that people are becoming selfish. They're becoming immoral. They're becoming self-centered.
Yeah.
And I don't even think the nation really realizes what's happening. There are some people out there who are awake. There are a lot of people out there who are awake. I think the Christian right is pretty much awake and talking about what's happening. But I have listened to some of these high-profile preachers on TV, and they're trying to lead their congregation the best way they can. And in my opinion alone, I think that there's nothing wrong with being prepared for the worst. But I think that praying for our enemies, engaging with them on a civil platform.
Right, which is in our Constitution. That's what we're supposed to be doing and allowed to do.
Absolutely. I think engaging them on that kind of platform and being understanding or sympathetic. I mean, I'm not saying that, oh, yeah, you poor thing. What I'm saying is that a lot of these people who have a lot of these beliefs have been brainwashed these professors, by these high school teachers, mm-hmm. into thinking that America is just this horrible, horrible thing.
Right.
But America really used to be the light of the world. And I know it's changed, and I hate that. But I'll tell you what I've seen since Charlie Kirk died. I have seen Christians come out of the wood.
Right. Which is what we should have been doing all along.
Is what we should have been doing all along.
Right.
I have seen so much good in this world. They had a march for Charlie Kirk in France or Germany, and there were like 1,000,000,000 people. You know, and I'm like, man, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be praising God. Right. And I think I said earlier. Well, we'll talk about that later. All right.
Well, I think here are the avenues back. If we go back to, okay, how is Satan attacking marriage, and how can we, or the family unit, how can we see that and fight against it in a way that's at the spiritual level?
Absolutely.
Because it has to be addressed spiritually, and you saw that so beautifully playing out yesterday for his memorial when you had all of our national leaders talking about this is a spiritual thing. A lot of them were saying this is a spiritual problem. This is not a political problem. This is not a left versus right problem,
right.
Republican versus Democrat, however you want to frame it. Uh-huh. This is a spiritual sickness. Our soul is sick in America because we've allowed Satan in and we've removed God.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, I think what I wanted to talk about is the different avenues, how he's doing this, okay? And what he has done, you know, and I don't know all the specifics and all the details and the dates. I can just tell you, from my spirit speak and all that. So, okay, well, yeah, you can go into some of that. What I want to say, though, is I believe it's happened through the passing of legislation like Roe v. Wade.
It's been gone.
Which I know has been overturned, and now it's back in. But do you know how many millions of children were aborted? Okay, let's even just discuss that, because you have Christians who believe abortion is okay, and they'll give you all these justifications of it. So I'm going to just name the theory that I think that it's been targeted by Satan and how he's used. So it's abortion. Because think about it, if we decide that it's okay to kill children, unborn children, or even born, you know, they've even gotten to where, hey, you basically kill the child right as they're being born, you know. Or what it does is it destroys an entire country and civilization, because we're murdering these children. That's the end result, is what Satan wants. But he wants it to look like it's not murder, right? He's completely the master of deception. So you have abortion, and then you have, and this is really a hot topic, and we may lose people over it, and that's okay. Because I feel like where I so agree with Charlie Kirk, and where I have been a coward, is I have not stood up for what I believe in. I believe the homosexuality is a sin. I believe the Bible's very clear about it. And so that's another way that Satan has come in. He said he has tried to deceive people and tell them, hey, you can love whoever you want, be in a relationship, marry whoever you want, and it's okay with God because there's so much grace. So that's number two. Number three is the transgender movement. This is the other way that
that's
he has
deep,
gotten.
Deep rabbit hole.
Yes, and I know it's a whole other episode, but I mean, those are the three ways that I see that he is destroying the family in order to destroy the country.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what, do you want to talk about each one?
Well, yeah, let's talk about the first one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, and I'll let you go.
Well, you know, you and I were talking about this earlier before we came on, and we were saying, okay, if you go back and you look at previous civilizations, and I would encourage people, because I want to do this even more than we have been doing, which
love
we have
done history.
Right, you love history. I like history, too. I don't love it as much as you, but what you see when you look at previous civilizations is the worship of these deities, right?
Yeah.
These gods, little g.
Yeah.
And what they really are, we know as believers, or maybe a lot of people don't know this, that those are actually probably principality. They're fallen angels.
Absolutely.
That have been given territory or power. I don't understand it. Just read scripture. It will very plainly show you that.
I think it's Genesis 6 that talked about the angels came down from heaven and saw them. Daughters of men, that they were fair. The Bible doesn't really go into it too much, but you can do some reading. Jonathan Cahn is a great, he's one of my favorite authors. I'll read his books. as often as I can. And he discusses.
He discusses the return of the gods is the one that right. we've been kind of working through the last couple of years.
It's been a few months.
We've watched some videos on it too, but yeah. he talks about the specific one as well as Amanda Grace and her Absolutely. Ministry, Ark of Grace.
Yes.
They talk about Ishtar, and that's the one that Molech.
Yes.
Yeah, or so these two gods, but really, let's start with, because Molech is the one, and Baal, right?
Yeah.
That they sacrifice their children
God
to.
Almighty.
So tell a little bit about that, because you were telling me earlier, and I was
okay,
shocked.
So back when Israel was first in the kingdom, they became under the influence of the outside tribe. When they conquered Israel, they didn't kill all of them. They didn't kill everybody that was already there, so there were little outside tribes who were practicing a different religion than Israel. They weren't worshiping God or Yahweh. So they were worshiping this deity called Molech. And what the worship behind it, the ceremony actually incorporated was, they had this huge statue of Molech set up. It was hollow. And the statue is a bullhead, big, tall, bull-headed figure. And he's got his hands outstretched. And what they would do is they would take firewood, and they would put it inside of the statue, and they would heat it up to where it was just red hot. And they would take a live, living human baby, and they would put them on these hands and literally cook them alive as a sacrifice to Molech. You can check me on that. I'm pretty sure my facts are 100.
Well, I know it happened. The Bible talks about it.
Yeah, the Bible talks about it. Yeah, it does. And I view abortion as the same thing, basically.
I know, right?
I view abortion as a sacrifice to the dark principalities.
Well, and even satanic worship does that.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of videos and read some books even that ex-satanists come out and say, stop. Please
Absolutely.
Stop celebrating Halloween. You guys have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, the satanic high priest.
He was an ex-high priest or something, and he was saying that on Halloween, they literally, like, there are some women, the only thing that they do, they have babies just so they can be sacrificed
Absolutely.
On Halloween. So how demonic, when you think about what that is, you have the worship of Baal and Molech, and then you have Satanists who sacrifice babies.
Yes.
And then we're calling abortion something completely different. Is it not the same thing?
It's all the same.
And the deception is, oh, it's just a clump of cells.
Well, it's a woman's right
to choose. Right, it's her right.
And look, the women's movement in the past few years, I understand that there are some women out there who feel marginal. But abortion never should have been.
It never should have been.
It's a sick, disgusting thing. What was the name of that movie, babe?
Okay, so I had you watch it with me. I had seen it before. It's called Unplanned. It is rated R because it is very graphic, but it is a Christian movie, and it is about this lady who was kind of in the management of a clinic in Houston.
She was moving up in the
Planned Parenthood clinic she was working at in that whole organization. And, you know, what was so crazy, she had had a couple abortions, and for whatever reason, she hated it, but she had never, like, worked in the room where the baby was being aborted.
Right.
So she had never really saw what was going on, and she ends up seeing it. And it really just wrecked her.
Yeah, it wrecked me when I saw it.
And if you ever see it, if you ever see what a baby goes through,
don't watch it with kids in the room.
Yeah, don't. If you ever see what a baby goes through, and it is a baby, okay? It is not a clump of cells.
Right.
It is not a fetus. It is a child. It is a human being. And when you see what that baby goes through, it's literally dying.
It's kicking. Congested. It's fighting it. It's kicking at the needle trying to get away from it.
Or they pull it out piece by piece when it's a partial birth. They actually pull their legs off and arms off. It's horrific.
It's horrific. It really is. And look, and I know that this is a very uncomfortable topic. Probably had some people get angry at us for breaching it. But you know what? We should have breached this a long time ago.
This should
never have been a thing. Our preachers that are sitting in the pulpits today, they're the ones that are responsible for this.
They skirt around it
because of politics. They skirt around it because they're afraid of losing their parishioners. They're afraid of losing their money. And they're afraid of just hurting someone's
feelings.
They're afraid of persecution. And I'm telling you something right now. If one of these pastors out there does not condemn it, they are wrong.
Right.
And they're going to be held accountable for it when
Absolutely.
They get to heaven and stand before Jesus. we're all got something that we're going to be held accountable for. Every yeah. one of us. I know I have my sins. Even though I'm forgiven, God's going to ask me why. And I have to give it, I have to hold it. There has to be an accounting for it. But when you sacrifice a living being just because
it's inconvenient for you.
It's inconvenient for you. That is not.
So here's.
That is in no way a form of birth control.
Absolutely.
That topic, that saying drives me up the wall.
Right.
It is not birth control. It is murder.
And you know what? I'm glad that you're passionate about it because I feel like men don't get a voice in this.
We don't.
Because they get blamed for getting the woman pregnant. Well, what about, why
Thanks
didn't
too,
she?
Baby.
Exactly. What? Where's her? She had some responsibility, unless she was raped, of course.
Well,
which
okay.
is a whole other subject,
right.
And I still don't agree with abortion. I don't.
Well,
I don't ever agree with it. Two
well,
wrongs don't
differ.
Make a right.
Well, I think that if someone is pregnant by rape or incest, I think that
I couldn't do it.
I would not be able to do it personally, but I'm a man.
Here's the thing. I would trust God that He's going to turn that, but I'm my own believer. I have a relationship with God, so I'm not going to judge anybody else. But I am going to condemn the practice of abortion.
Right.
I do not think that it's of God. Think about it. If God says in Genesis chapter whatever 2-3 whatever, where He says, "Be fruitful and multiply," why would He want us to kill our offspring?
What Charlie Kirk said. Don't
I mean,
go to
I didn't
college,
even hear him
married.
Say that. Yeah, I didn't even hear him say that. But that's just common sense as a Christian. We should not even have this conversation. You should know it's wrong.
Absolutely.
And that may sound judgmental, and I'm sorry. Maybe you've been indoctrinated by the world system that says it's okay because they're inconvenient. Here's what I was going to say about that. So back then, when they were worshiping these gods, they were worshiping them because out of fear, but now people worship the god of convenience.
Absolutely.
So it's all about
That's what's preached to us.
Yes. If something's inconvenient, just get it away from you. Just get rid of it.
Yeah, the Joel Osteens of this world that preach, God loves you. He wants to do good things for you, but He never tells you that you have to live a good life. He just tells you that God loves you regardless. And He does. To the most part, God does.
It's
but
all
God's
grace.
Also a God of rules.
Right. It's all grace. And there's no, like you said, He's still a God of order.
Absolutely.
He's still a God of righteousness. And so you can't just do whatever you want and there's grace for it. Paul said, am I going to keep trampling on the blood of Christ? I'm not going to sin anymore. Jesus even told the woman when they're throwing the stones at her or everywhere they want to. And he
Absolutely.
Said, who's ever without sin, cast the first stone. But then he tells her, after all, he shuts them down. He says, now go and sin no more. There is a direct requirement from the Lord that says, yes, I've forgiven you, but don't keep on sinning.
Right. Just because you're saved, just because you're a Christian, you go to church, doesn't give you the right to go out and sin all you want to.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it should be harder.
Yeah. You shouldn't want to.
You shouldn't want to. But people fail. You know, I did. I failed horribly. But I think that people are human.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to make mistakes. And as soon as you realize you make that mistake, you stop.
Yeah.
And like I did, I stopped.
Right.
I got help. And I confessed my sins before a pastor at church. I confessed my sins to everyone that I know. And I got it off the chest.
Yeah.
You can't hide from your sin. Your sin is wide open for the one being in this world that can see everything.
Right.
You've got to confess that.
Yeah.
Now, I want to say something about abortion and about hate. I hate the act. I hate the act of abortion. I hate the killing of a baby.
Right.
But we're not. I don't think we're supposed to hate the people.
No, I don't. I think there's confusion.
We had to put that in there.
Yes,
yeah.
That's true. Because it could totally misconstrued. If you had an abortion, we are not angry with you. We are not trying to judge you. We're actually trying to open your eyes to see that.
Right.
Because there's so much forgiveness and mercy with God. And He can redeem things in ways that we can't understand. But I think we've been indoctrinated with the world system. And I think we're just trying to bring awareness to it. Like, please don't do it. You know?
And it's not our place to condemn or to judge. That's the only judge in this world that you have to worry about or on this planet outside this universe is God.
Right.
Our job and our responsibility that I feel as a Christian is to lead people to make right decisions.
I think we're supposed to speak the truth.
We are supposed to speak the truth. And I tell you what, if a lot of people doing these podcasts, these Christian podcasts, follow a lot of these pastors, they drive me nuts. If they had been preaching the truth and if they had been holding these people accountable through the word of God, instead of preaching, right, God loves you and he don't care what you do. You know what? God does care what you do. God has a lot of opinions. It's all in the Bible.
Read it for yourself.
Read it for yourself, guys.
And you know what? People will say, well, that's Old Testament. You know what? Not so much.
No.
Not. He didn't. Jesus didn't come to abolish it. He came to fulfill it.
Jesus sat down and a bunch of kids came up to him. The disciples tried to shoo them away. And he's like, no, no. Unless you come to me as one of these children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
So Jesus, God has a special place in his heart.
Well, and you see all the writings of Paul that condone sin. The same sin that was sin in the Old Testament. He's condoning this stuff. I mean, he's not condoning it.
Right.
He's condemning it and say, this is sin. This is still sin. And these kind of people, he says, these kind of people will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's very specific. So I'm shocked that there's still people, and this leads me to point number two, homosexuality.
Yeah.
There's still people who think that, Christians.
We're not going to be popular after this podcast.
We won't have any, but we'll have two listeners. We'll have two right-wing conservative
listeners.
Mom and
daughter, and that's about it.
That's fine.
It needs to be said. It needs to be said. I'm tired of living on the fringe being
too.
A Christian.
I'm tired of skirting around it, just trying not to hurt somebody's feelings.
Right.
You know what I was saying earlier to you? I said that I think the highest form of love is telling someone the truth, whether it hurts them or not. Jesus said, the truth's going to set you free. I'm going to tell you the truth,
right,
and it's going to set you free.
I was fixing to say that.
So I think that freedom comes from truth.
Absolutely.
So when you love someone, you tell them the truth.
Well, if someone has been told that they're not sinning, because I'm going to tell you right now what this is a cult. It's a cult, and it is
What's a cult?
Homosexuality.
LGBTQIA.
Yeah, HIJKLMP. They come up with a different word every day, or different letter.
Binary stuff. Yeah.
I mean, we got one guy saying he's a tree. And I'm like, what the heck do you do? You sit there, yeah, I'm a tree. Cats, guys wearing cat costumes to school.
Yeah. It's mental illness. We've talked about
it
that.
It is mental illness.
And I think that, so here's my stance on it. Obviously, I already said that I think it's a sin. So I may get blacklisted and I don't even care. But the five people that listen to me, I love you. And I'm telling you the truth.
Right.
It's a sin. And God has something better for you. And that's the way I like to frame it for people is, God has something better for you. He made a design. And if you go with his design, it may feel awkward to you because maybe you do prefer one sex over the other.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to say about that, that we all have an inclination, a specific sin that we like. I like to eat food. I like to commit gluttony. That's my go-to vice.
Yeah.
So is that okay? No, it's not. It's not okay.
Because it's a sin.
It's a sin. And I'm calling it a sin. They're all sin. But what the problem I have with homosexuality and the embracing of it and viewing a man and a man as a true marriage, it's not that. That's not true. That's not what he said in order. And the reason I'm bringing it into this conversation is because the whole conversation is about Satan attacking the family unit.
Right.
And that's one of the ways he's doing it.
Okay, evolution's against homosexuality from the beginning.
Absolutely.
Because you can't have a male goat and a male goat make a baby goat. You've got to have male-female to make a baby, right?
Yeah.
So one of the ways that Satan has attacked marriage, he's attacked our faith, is saying, you know what? It's not your right to say that homosexuality is wrong.
Right.
They should have the same rights. They should have the same privileges. And look, as a human being on this planet, especially in America, they have all the rights that we do.
I'm not denying that.
But don't force it down my throat.
Well, and don't expect me to recognize your union with another
same sex
situation. I biblically in my heart, I can't respect that as a union.
But we love them as people.
I love you as a person, and I'll talk to you, and I'll be your friend, and I'll be in your life.
Absolutely.
That's not. I don't hate you. I'll be nice to you.
Yes.
I would never mistreat someone just because they're doing that.
I had gay friends when I was in the military.
Yeah.
Great guys, but they knew I didn't go that way.
Yeah.
You know.
I just want people to see that what is happening here is Satan is trapping you in a lifestyle, and his end goal is to destroy America.
Absolutely.
So when you say things, because I've heard gay people say things like, why do you care? It's none of your business what I do with my life. Because what you're doing is destroying the fabric of America.
Yep.
I hate to be so blunt about it.
Well, that's how
you're
Satan
contributing to it.
You know, that's how Satan breaks it down. You know, at first he introduces the small sin. Well, you know, What are you, right. you really going to get condemned about this? Come on, man. Right. Think about it. It's going to feel good. You're going to like it. And then when the person's full into it, you know, just into it, knee deep,
right.
it's too late.
It's too late. You can't convince that person that they're living in a sinful lifestyle right. that's going to destroy. And that's the end goal is destruction.
Yep.
And so the reason that I want to tell people the truth, I don't want you to be destroyed.
No.
Because the end goal of all sin, the wages of sin is death. Always death. Right. Always death. It leads to a place of death. It might be spiritual death. It might be soul death of your soul, emotional. It could be physical death. Some sin leads to physical death.
But it is never too late to turn back and say, God, forgive me. Because God is a God of laws.
Absolutely.
He's a God of rules. But the most important thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is he is a God of mercy.
Right.
And he loves you no matter what you've done. Look, I am the least among many. I have sinned so bad in my life that I knew God didn't love me anymore.
Yeah.
But last year, it's been a year.
By the way, God. We forgot to mention that. So the 1 year anniversary of the suicide attempt was actually on your birthday Saturday.
Wow.
It has been a year. A lot can happen in a year.
A lot has happened in a year.
Yeah.
Well, I'm good. Just think about that and the just kind of, you know, it kind of hits you on your heart knowing what, you know, suicide, it's a selfish thing. It really is. And realizing what I did to you as my wife and to your mom and to Allie and Dre and the kid, I'll carry that for the rest of my life. And that's why I say at the end of every podcast, call 988. Heck, call me. You know. But I let myself get caught up in sin.
And that's what we were talking about, is being, it starts out as a small, like maybe someone has this feeling when they're 10, 12 years old.
Right.
That like it's a guy and he's attracted to another boy. So what I think happens is I do think a lot of it's spiritual.
I do too.
I do think that there are demonic entities that are trying to convince people you are gay, you are a lesbian.
Well, we got high school teachers and college professors saying, you know what? Look at that guy. Is he a good looking guy? If you say, yeah, he's attractive, you're gay.
Right.
You know, they're encouraging people to be gay, and it's all demonic. Every single bit of it is Satan's attempt to break down the family unit. And I'm telling you, he's winning.
Bonded.
He was winning. You know? So we have got to come together as a Christian community, as like-minded people, and pray and fight.
I want to pray that people's eyes are open to it.
Absolutely.
And how can their eyes be open to the truth if no one ever tells them the truth?
The truth sets you free. That's why the truth won't come out.
And it cost Charlie Kirk his life because he told people things like that. But, you know, as far as same-sex marriages, and I mean, we were talking about this earlier. You mentioned it, but you can't procreate with two men or two women, right? So it makes absolutely, biologically, let's just even get away from Christianity for a minute. It absolutely makes no sense.
It doesn't?
You can't do it. So obviously, if you can't do it, then you weren't designed to operate that way.
Right. I don't want to have a baby. I'll be honest with you. I've watched it. I ain't doing it ever again.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's just gross.
Well, it's just, you know, people can't, the same gender can't procreate is what I'm trying to say.
Right,
and we do see this in the animal kingdom, like you said. You might see two goats or something, that two male goats or whatever, but they're animals.
They're animals.
We're not animals.
Right.
We have a soul. We have a spirit.
Right.
And so we do not live in that kingdom. So people, you know, I mean, because they try to equate us to just being these savage animals.
Right.
Well, your flesh is that way, but you also have a humanity part of you that's like the soul that is made, I believe, in the image of God.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's what makes us different. We are born with a moral compass. We know right from wrong when we're born, lot of it.
We were talking about this earlier. God is the mortar that's keeping this country together. You know, he is the master builder. He created everything that you see around you, and he is a master builder. Great mathematician. He is a great scientist. He is the great mortar.
Right.
That is holding our society together.
Right.
And without God, what happens to society?
Well, without God, I will say this. There is no there's no moral ground that we all believe the same thing. So like, so if you have people thinking that abortion's not murder, but then you have some people thinking that abortion is murder, then what we have is people who can't agree on what is right and wrong.
Right.
God is, he provides for us in his word what is right and what is wrong. There is not a gray area with
every question you have about whatever sin's going on, it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible. And so what we've done in America is we've said, because we don't want to feel that way, I'm just saying we collectively, we don't want to feel like we're doing something wrong, so let's just remove the problem. God is the one who's saying this is right and this is wrong. So let's just take him out of the picture. And so you have complete collapse of society, because without his moral guidance of him telling us right from wrong, a sin or just morality becomes really, what I would say, subjective. So I have my own truth here, and there is no, you know, there is no absolute truth. It's all subjective, which is what we're living in. So now I can become a tree, because to me, I am a tree. Or I'm a girl, but I want to be a boy, and it's subjective, so now I'm just going to be a boy. Well, that's not true, because that's why we have to have this foundation, and God's word is the foundation.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, it started when I was a kid in school. I remember when I first got saved, I think I was in the eighth grade, maybe seventh grade. And I carry my Bible to school, and I read my Bible in class. And people ask me what I'm doing. They're like, why are you reading the Bible? Well, because I'm a Christian. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
And it became uncool. It became, well, you know, the cool kids are doing this. They're not reading their Bibles and doing that.
Yeah.
This has been a design plan from the beginning. You make God uncool. You make him not popular. You make him taboo. God's a God. Too many rules. He judges me when I do sin. He doesn't judge you. He has rules that you're breaking, but he'll forgive you.
But you got to repent.
But you've got to repent of it. Even Christians who have been saved have to come to God and say, God, I am sorry I did. You're not judged, but you do have to come before God and have an accounting with
him. Right. Because he sent his son. Well, actually, he sent himself.
He did.
He sent himself because there was no other way to atone for all the sins.
Right.
Because there has to be atonement. Because he is so righteous and so just, there has to be some kind of atonement for sin.
Right.
And none of us were good enough to do it. So he had to send himself.
Yeah.
And I think that's where people don't understand that, yes, God is grace, but he's also righteous.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So that leads us into point three, where we're talking about. That doesn't lead us, but we're going to go into point three, which is this idea of transgenderism, and that it's an outright attack on family.
It is. What do they call that when it's in your face?
I was going to say an abomination.
It's an abomination to God. And I'm going to tell you where transgenderism got its start.
Yes.
The temple. Well, this is just one of the temples. And Jesus actually confronted this. I didn't realize it until today. But when Jesus took his disciples to the temple of Pan at Mount Carmel, the priest at that temple had to castrate themselves, dress up as women, and take on a womanly role.
And so Jesus is there.
And Jesus is there amongst all of these people. He confronted it head on, and he said, it is wrong.
Where is that?
It's in Matthew.
He's talking to his disciples.
Yeah, he's talking to his disciples.
But he doesn't specifically.
He doesn't say specifically that it's wrong.
About transgenderism.
He does not say transgenderism is wrong, but he said that upon this rock I will build my church.
So he's talking to Peter.
But he's pointing to the temple of Pan. We may have to edit that out.
I don't know. People can research it. But so what I was going to say about transgenderism, and this is, I would highly encourage you to either go to YouTube and listen to some of Jonathan Cahn's stuff on the Return of the Gods, or even all of his books kind of allude to this, because he kind of centers his ministry around this. But
what about 9/11 was terrifying?
Yeah, but he talks about Ishtar, and this was a god that, and so does Amanda Grace talk about this. This is a god that he is saying that all of the same things that we're seeing, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be abortion, which that was Molech, whether it be the transgender movement, he says that they're all just principalities that are kind of repackaging themselves and showing up in a different form now.
Right.
And they are. And so this god was called Ishtar.
Right.
And it was ancient. And it was, I think it was Babylonian. That's where it started. And they worshiped her. And she was a god of war and sex and war, a couple other things. So this is a very, very not only sexual god, goddess, right. She was also very violent. So interestingly enough, what you see, a lot of this crazy behavior that we're seeing, like the assassination with Charlie Kirk, with the attempted assassination, well, and then the school shooting that happened a few weeks ago in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
At the church, at the school that they were having mass or whatever. It was a transgender. So you're seeing like, okay, why are we seeing violence in the transgender movement? And he says, and she says, because that goddess, that principality is a better way to say it.
Right.
That's what it drives and that's what it does.
Right. Absolutely.
It's both of those things combined. And that really shocked me. Because I was trying to figure it out, too. I was like, why are they so violent?
And that's
why. Well, that's what that goddess is all about.
And she's got a war.
Yeah.
And now you've got an armed militant group, an armed I'm sorry. It's funny. The armed transgender militant group. And the guy who killed Charlie Kirk had been in a relationship with a transgender person.
Right, right.
And he was radicalized. I believe he was radicalized at college.
Well, all of them are.
Yeah. And he said that I had to kill him because I couldn't stand his lies.
Yeah, I had to kill him. I couldn't just debate him. I couldn't just...
Right. Absolutely.
That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with complete depravity.
Yeah. Well, we're dealing with mental illness. And instead of addressing it and treating the problem, what we're doing is we're allowing it and we're giving it food. We're giving it a food source to continue to grow. And it's all in the name of not hurting somebody's feelings. I'm going to tell you right up, I don't care if I hurt your feelings. I don't care. I'm a grown man. I'm entitled to my opinion. Now, when it comes to my wife, I do care about hurting her feelings. But if somebody comes to me and tells me they're a tree, I'm like, no, let me see your roots.
No, you're not a tree.
Grow a leaf out of your nose, and I believe you're a tree.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the problem that people are not, they're living in the delusion with the person who says that they're, I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. No,
right.
I love you enough to tell you that you're not.
Right.
Okay. Gender and biological sex are the same thing.
Absolutely.
And that's their whole premise. And they're saying scientifically it's been proven. I'm sorry, how do you prove that gender and biological sex are separate? I'm sorry, how did you prove that scientifically?
I don't know how they do it. I think a lot of those studies are just full of hot air. I just think that they're done
You know what they say? It's that gender is a construct of society, that we have created these constructs.
No.
That are say, okay, this is male and this is female. Not really, because if you watch little boys play and you watch little girl, like our, okay, for instance, I'll give you our grandkid.
Mm-hmm.
We have a 3, he's almost 4, and then we have a 1.5-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. They are different.
Oh, very different.
The way that they talk, the way that they play, the things that she plays with versus what he plays with.
Yeah.
It's different.
But now he's got parents who are devout Christian. And if they saw him doing something feminine, that a boy is not supposed to be doing, they would step in and say something.
Yeah, but I mean, you had a boy and a girl. Did you not notice differences in like what they gravitated towards even when they were little?
Yeah, Brianna was a tomboy at first, but then about the age of 15, she lost her mind and discovered boys. It was all makeup. But Jace, all boys from the beginning.
Yeah, and that's usually what happened.
Yeah,
boys are very. I mean, Allie was kind of tomboyish. My daughter was kind of tomboyish too. But I suspect that's because she was raised around her cousins and they were boys. So she just was trying to fit in, you know. Riding, I mean, she could drive a 4-wheeler when she was 4. She could drive by herself. So, I mean, she knew how to do stuff like that. So I don't think that's being masculine as much as it's just being, I was just being a kid and all kids. Like I was very much a tomboy in that I would like saddle up my horse. I'm 7 or 8. I had my little Shetland pony and I would saddle it up and go ride around, you know, in the pasture.
Right.
And
absolutely.
I was tomboyish like that too. So I don't see that as being, I think that's like a country girl, honestly.
It is. It's a country girl. And I don't really agree with the whole tomboy thing. I think that my girl liked camping. She liked hiking. She liked fishing.
Yeah.
She liked hunting. Women are allowed to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to say that you're a man if you're a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, and that's the thing of it. You know, it's unfortunate because they feel like they're trapped in the wrong body, but really they're deceived.
Right.
Okay. So.
Well, and it's a demonic, it's a demonic deception.
Absolutely.
And it's being fed by society today. The cancel movement that started, during Biden or during Trump? The first Trump.
I don't remember.
I think it was during Obama.
Really?
The cancel culture started under Obama. So we dealt with this crap for like 12 years now.
Yeah.
And when the cancel culture started, you go from being able to give your opinion on things to you get canceled if you give your opinion on something and they don't agree with you.
Right.
And social media, God bless America, social media is the worst about doing it. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a necessary part of life today.
It's being used to destroy and deceive. And God wants us to use it to encourage and tell the truth and talk about Him. But it's been hijacked by the powers
absolutely
that are at work in the earth, you know, with deception and all that.
Yes.
So to summarize that, we believe that, number one, the family is being attacked in the areas of abortion, in the area of being homosexuality, and then transgenderism.
Yes.
And if those three things were called out for what they really are, and if Christians would start to stand up, because that creates a little bit of a peer pressure. Think about it. Like, when people are constantly telling you everywhere you hear it that that's not right, then maybe you'll realize it's not right.
Absolutely.
Like, the church needs to be the measuring stick to be saying, hey, these things are not God's best for you. And it's not that God doesn't want you to have fun and enjoy your life. Because I know sin can be a little bit of fun. But you know very well, sin leads to destruction.
Well, that's just like going out, you know, back in my younger days, going out partying all night long.
Right.
Getting just completely just schnozzled drunk. You had fun. When you wake up the next day, then you got to deal with the consequences.
Do you even remember what you did, though?
Oh, most of the time. 99.9% of the time.
I'm not saying it can't be fun for a season, but I think,
right. I think
is it worth the damage it does?
It's not worth it. It's not worth what it does to you spiritually, mentally, or physically.
And that's what God wants to prevent. He wants people to, He wants to prevent them from doing things that are going to be destructive to them. It has nothing to do with, I don't want you to have fun. It's just like our grandkids.
Right.
Would I just let howl and run out into the county road if there are cars coming, would I just say, you know what? I just want you to have
She's
fun.
She's just a bad kid. Just go on and run out there.
Just go run out into the road. And I'm not even going to stop you because you know what? That's
She's
what you want to do.
She's a sweet kid. I love Holland.
I want you to enjoy your life, Holland. Go run. And there's also a pond over there if you want to go drown in it.
Go fishing.
Like, no,
that's
as
wrong.
A good parent or grandparent, I'm going to be like, no, baby. Well, there's a gate there for a reason.
You got to think about the whole abortion issue also. What's next? Your kid pisses you off when he's 4 years old, so you just take him out and cut his head off?
Right.
I mean, where does it stop?
And pedophilia
is
the next evolutionary step in transgenderism, right? Now we're just going to say,
we don't call them pedophile. We call them
it has some
young,
kind of stupid
attracted,
clinical name.
Men attracted to younger people or whatever it's called.
It's disgusting. It's vile. And it's perverted and twisted. And God hates it. Yeah, it's so disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
So, all in sin, and realizing that we all have sin that we all need to repent for, because I know we all do.
Right.
And that's not, but here's the thing about today, is that we're talking about things that destroy the family.
Right.
And those destroy the family. I'm probably missing some, but I feel like those are the main areas where Satan is sowing deception.
Well, I think it's important that we say, and Lord just spoke to me on this, is that there are people in our church, well, we don't go to one specific church, but there are people in our churches today who have gay kids.
Right.
Who have a spouse that divorced them and went gay.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mean any offense to you, but it's time that people step up and say what God says about these issues.
Right.
It's not our right. To take things.
And you know what? We didn't make the rules either.
We didn't make the rules.
He's the one that made them.
Right. If you look at the Bible and you look at the rules that God gave the Hebrews, it touches every single sin, every single thing that you can do.
Right.
Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not fornicate. Now, that's the same. But
not necessarily.
We lost our biblical basis. we were based, this country was founded on religious freedom. But we don't have that anymore. We lost it in the name of
political correctness.
Political correctness. Transgenderism hates God. They hate God because they know deep down in their heart that God knows their sin is wrong.
They don't want anybody telling them.
They don't want anybody telling them that.
It's just like, you know, when we were talking about Charlie Kirk's assassination and how it was so much like Stephen when he was stoned in the scriptures in Acts chapter 7.
Yeah.
And it says, and because I read this whole chapter out loud, I wanted us to look at it, and it said that they stuck their fingers in their ears and screamed so loud so they wouldn't have to hear him saying the truth.
I had never heard that about Stephen.
I read it,
but I just blew right over that part.
They were screaming with their fingers in their ears, and I'm thinking that's what's going on. They don't want to hear it. They would rather just kill the messenger, which is what they did.
Yes.
Kill the messenger because they don't want you telling them.
Right. Because
it makes them have to stop and think and be honest with themselves. And it sears their conscience a little bit where they're like, oh my gosh, you know. So let's just kill the person.
Well, I think that it's important for people to know that God does not want you to partake of any of that.
Right.
He wants you to remove yourself from those people. Do not associate with them. You're supposed to love them. And let your life be an example. If you're a Christian, just like God did with the Hebrews, the Jews, when he moved them into the promised land, he pushed them aside and kept them isolated so they would not be influenced. And I'll be dang if they weren't influenced anyway.
It took like, 2 seconds flat? They go, you know, Moses goes up to the mountain. When he comes back down, they already got a bull calf. Golden calf made, and they're worshiping it.
Yeah,
I mean that's how weak we are as people.
We are weak.
Which is why he had to die. Which is why he had to send his Holy Spirit, because we can't do it without him. And that's the thing. What we're saying is not, hey, you need to clean yourself up. You don't need to sin anymore. You don't need to sin anymore. But you have a helper. You have someone who can help you not get trapped in sin.
Absolutely.
And he will convict you. One of the things Scripture says about that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. Is he will convict the world of sin.
Right. Yeah, he will convict you. I think there was a movement that a saying that got started in the gay community a few years ago says, pray the gay away. You ever heard that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, there was a saying that got started in the homosexual transgender community a long time ago that said, well, I'm just going to pray the gay away. Mm. There's something in that. Now, I know that some people out there say, I was born like this and I can't change it. Okay. Have you taken it before Jesus Christ? Have you said, God, I'm like this, and I know I'm like this, and you know that I'm like this.
Yeah.
You have got to give me the strength that I need. Give me the wisdom to know what I'm doing is wrong, even though I already know. You have to know in your DNA. I mean, it has to be in our DNA. I mean, gosh, look at laminin. It's in the shape of a cross, and it is one of the carriers from one body part to the other in your brain. It carries messages along a nerve cell, along a nerve strand. Laminin is amazing. It's in the shape of a cross.
Now, what is that? That's a neurotransmitter, or what is that?
It's a neurotransmitter, yeah. But your body knows that it's wrong, and Satan has got these people out there convinced today that it's not, that that's just who you are. It's going to be okay, because you know what? There is no heaven and hell. The God of the Bible is a horrible, evil person.
Mm-hmm.
The God of the New Old Testament is a totally different God from the New Testament. But he had to be that way because the Israelites were so stiff-necked.
Well, on the surface, he seems like he is different, although he isn't.
Right.
It was hostility because of the constant rebellion.
Absolutely.
I think that was a side of him that he didn't want to be like that. It's like, you know, if your parents, I'm sorry, if your kids are so bad, they force you to be like a mean parent. I feel like that's what it was. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like, he's like, you are forcing my hand in a way that I do not want to be like. I wanted to love you. I wanted to be kind. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to rescue you, but you wouldn't have it.
What did Jesus say when he's riding on the donkey into Israel? Into Jerusalem? Oh, Israel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what was this?
I wanted to gather you as chicks,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But you wouldn't.
Right.
You stone your prophets. I mean, you do the exact opposite of what I want you to do every single time.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, he said, and you won't see me again until you say, blessed, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Absolutely.
And that's true. So they are going to turn when they see him. But right now we're in the time of the Gentiles. So I don't know. I hope that this message is not, I can't say I hope it's not offending, because Jesus was willing to offend people to lead into truth. And that's so strong. Jesus was willing to offend people to lead them to truth.
Absolutely.
Because if I can offend you enough, maybe it would open your eyes a little bit. Maybe you might get ticked and yep. mad, but hey, maybe you think about it.
Right.
And you'd be willing to say, you know what, I feel convicted, like this thing I've been doing over here, or this double lifestyle I've been living, or,
right.
You know, whatever. We're not trying to bring condemnation. He's not the God of condemnation.
And we're not trying to get you to not love your kids if
yeah.
they're gay
yeah,
or
yeah,
if
yeah.
they're trans.
Pray. And we'll pray with you, for sure.
Praying. Pray.
Pray that the root of that thing is
revealed. Spirit. Do like people did to me. Sick the Holy Spirit on me. Sick the Holy Spirit
oh,
on
man.
Them. You cannot shake that. I tried. They will be miserable enough to come to
yeah.
you and say, okay, I'm under conviction and I don't know what's going on with me. That's mm-hmm. when you sit down with a cool, level head and you say, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
We love you. We are proud of you as our son, but your actions are hurting. You have got to come back to the Lord. Because like I said before, he's everything keeping it together. You've got, without God, it all falls apart.
Yeah.
It all does. And it's just a sad state that we're in today. I hate the way the country is. I mean, I lost friends in the military. You know, we fought to defend this country against terrorism.
Yeah. And
only
now
for our politicians to let it in.
To let it in.
And it breaks my heart because I love this country so much.
Yeah.
Any of you guys that have never traveled, you realize how good we actually have it here.
Yeah.
Especially when you go to the Middle Eastern countries like Iraq, Afghanistan, Oman, and all those ons over there. People make it on like $10 a month.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
they do. So America, it has its faults. I know it does. We are knee deep in sin right now. I know we are, but this movement that is starting with Charlie Kirk assassination, this movement I feel like is doing very, very good things. You had 100 million people on one station watch a memorial to a man that was mortal, and he was only 31.
Yeah.
100 million. That is amazing to me. I'm surprised the news stations could carry that kind of, of traffic. So something is happening.
Yeah, it's a turning point for sure.
And I welcome it. God, please bring it quicker. Bring it quicker. You know? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I just pray that, you know, I guess as we're kind of wrapping up, I hope that if you're listening, that you realize how important your marriage is, because it's part of the glue. It's part of the fabric that holds our nation together. That's why it matters that you stay together. It's why it matters that you fulfill your marital purpose between,
absolutely.
You know, that God's given your marriage. It's why it matters that you continue to raise your children in a godly way.
Absolutely.
It matters.
Absolutely.
Every single family matters to God.
Right.
And the more that we can keep it together and keep it in the way and the alignment that God wants, the better off our country will be.
That's right. And you know, we're not encouraging you to isolate anyone. Now, I did say to separate your life from them, to separate from them, but you can separate yourself from someone and still be an example of how you're supposed to live to that person too, because that person's going to see you, especially if it's your children or if it's your spouse who likes to dress up as a woman or a man, whatever. Be the example. Be an example of love. Be an example of grace and mercy, but also be a steadfast, grounded in your faith person. Don't let that person try to say, God hates me, because God doesn't hate them. He hates the act.
Right.
Be there for them. Don't push it. But if they come up to you and they say, okay, I'm ready to talk about this with you, talk to them. But make sure that you have the knowledge. Make sure that you know the Bible well enough. Be read up on what is going on, what God wants you to say, and how he wants you to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love one another, man.
Yeah.
what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I think, so.
That was kind of emotional.
Yeah, you know, and I think also to note, because I think September is Suicide Awareness Month, I think, am I wrong? Or was that?
I think
in within the transgender movement, the suicide rate is super high.
Absolutely.
And that needs to be noted, because why? Why would it be so high? Obviously, there's something wrong, right?
Right.
If it was going to make you happy and fulfilled to change your sex.
Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is. Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. So anybody struggling this month with that, I would just really, I don't know what the hotlines are. I'm sure you can just look it up.
If you're a vet, it's 988.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is for.
If you're a civilian, you can call 988 as well, but call 911. If you have a spouse or if you have a significant other or a child that has disappeared and you know their mental state is compromised, call 911. Give them a description of the vehicle. Give them a description of the person, what they're wearing, and what they do. And I know what they did with me is they created a Be on the Lookout. And they had almost the whole department out looking for me because I was armed. I was suicidal.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that I did right that day, and I know it was the Lord, was I immediately called 911.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we need to connect you to the sheriff's department. So I got on the phone with the sheriff's department. And I said, you know, I think he could be actively trying to commit suicide. I don't know where he is, because they were going to come meet me here at the house. And I said, no, I'm going to go look for him.
Yeah.
And that's when God led me to the where you were. And I had just gotten off the phone with them, because one of them called me back and said, do you know where he is? And I said, I think he's at this cemetery over here. And so I got there, and they came right behind me. But one of the things I did right was I did call. If you think, and you're the not the person committing suicide or wanting to commit suicide, but you think somebody you love is close, please, please get the law enforcement involved.
And like she said, if suicide is so high in the homosexual and transgender community, because they feel removed, they feel isolated, and this godforsaken militant society that we're in that is telling you that Jesus is taboo. And he is not cool.
That he hates you.
And that he hates you for who you are. Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
He wants to have a relationship with you. Just encourage him. Amen. Don't do that, please. Because I did. And I'll carry that for the rest of my life. And you've got to step up and help these people. Because they need help. They don't need condemnation right now. They need love.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right, they have an identity crisis going on, and not knowing who you really are, but you can only know who you really are. You have to have a relationship with God, because He knows who you really are.
Well, and that's what this community does. They strip you of your identity,
yes,
and they tell you who you are. Yeah. They tell you what you want to be.
Right.
They tell you, oh, you really like men, or you really like women. If you're a girl, you've just been oppressed by society today, and they won't let you be who you actually are.
Yeah.
How the hell do they know?
Right. Exactly.
They're pushing an agenda.
Exactly. Pushing an agenda. That's Satan's agenda. Destroy the family.
Destroy the family unit.
You destroy the civilization.
Right.
He wants to take us all out, but he's doing it in an underhanded way where you don't know that's what he's doing.
If you destroy a relationship between the mom and the dad, the family just falls apart.
Yeah.
In most cases, now you and your ex have done it right. But there's very few people out there who have done it the right way.
I was a believer.
Yeah.
You know, so that makes a huge difference.
Right.
But
People get divorced all the time, but don't be petty.
Yeah.
I know some people out there who have just been so petty because they got divorced. And it's not spiritually correct.
Right.
It's not morally correct to isolate your kids from their father. It's not morally correct to isolate your kids from their mother. They need both of you.
Unless they're abusive or something.
Now they're abusive, you can get as far away from the people as you can.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well.
I hope that was
an intense one, and we hope that you'll come back next week.
We'll
try to do something more lighthearted next week. We've been wanting to talk about our desire to incorporate healthy lifestyle into our marriage.
Yeah, I think a healthy body,
maybe we'll
healthy
talk
heart
about that.
Is keep the temple of God.
Yeah, because it's huge. I mean, like,
I am right now.
We went on a, sabbatical for a month and ate whatever we wanted, basically.
My gosh.
And we're like paying for it, and we feel terrible. So
yeah, we went on a Royal Caribbean cruise, and you go up to the upper deck, and it's a buffet, and they have one of everything, and I ate three of everything, but we actually got dessert with all of our meals and everything.
And you kind of get used to that. Where's my dessert every single time you eat? So here we are, probably like 10 pounds heavier. But anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll talk about that next week. We'll
maybe
see.
We will.
But until then, we pray. God blesses you guys.
God bless you. We love you.
Yeah.
We are praying for everyone who listens. We're actually praying for this country. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
And just remember, when you're at your lowest moment, turn to the Lord. Like we already talked about, if you're thinking of harming yourself or someone else, call 988, please.
Yeah, and if this podcast is touching you, please make sure that you subscribe to it. Please share it. If you're hearing it on YouTube, share it on YouTube and subscribe to our channel.
Yeah.
And I guess that's it. We'll see
you
guys next week.
God bless. See you later.